your perspective, right? And you know, so I was thinking about this yesterday. Have you ever just, like, I'm not sure if this thought is like, probably something I should say out loud, but I'm going to because I'm a risk taker. So have you ever thought about the idea of an apocalypse, right? The world ending? Okay. So if it's going to end, I prefer it to end on a Monday. Anybody with me? Right? Because you're already kind of dreading the week, and then all of a sudden the world ends and you're like, oh, it's not bad because I wasn't looking forward to the week anyway. On the weekend, you're like, man, I just wanted to enjoy Saturday and Sunday. So anyway, that's just the weird way my mind works, right? So I was thinking about that last night after everybody went to bed. I was like, man, I'm sure glad that world didn't end on a Saturday, right? Because I was in the middle of a football game. So that's probably not what I should be saying up here, but trying to be honest and transparent with my thoughts here this morning. So well, it's good to see you, man. I'm glad you're here. I'm excited about today. I'm excited about what God is doing, not only in my life, man, but I'm excited about what God is doing in your life. I'm excited about what God is doing here at SCF and our opportunity to really follow Jesus well together. If you were here last week, we kicked off this brand new series, and let me bump this really quickly right here since it's on the screen. We have we've been talking about this idea of discipleship a lot the last couple of months, and this series that we're in right now really focuses on it. And if you've really kind of, maybe it's kind of at least given you some interest in what discipleship is. What does it mean? Because we throw that word disciple around a lot, and I'm not sure that we always agree on what it means. And so one of the things we want to make sure we do as we move forward in this journey together of being disciples of Jesus is really make sure that we're all on the same page with it. Make sure that we're all speaking the same language in regard to it. And so coming up, November 3rd and 4th, we've got this I don't want to call it a training, it's more of an experience about what it looks like as we shift to becoming disciples who really follow Jesus well together. And so it's a Friday evening and a Saturday morning and early afternoon. It's absolutely free, but I promise you, you will absolutely enjoy it. And if you can make it there, there are some sign-ups out at the Connect Center today. And so I encourage you, stop by there, sign up for it. We'd love to have you there. It's going to be an awesome experience together. So as we kind of transition from that into Here We Grow. So last week we started this series talking about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus and how we intentionally grow together. And I say the words intentionally grow because any kind of sustained, healthy growth is always intentional. And so it's not necessarily about we just kind of happen into it. It's that we purpose in our hearts and minds to grow and we pursue it together. It's intentional. And last week we talked about kind of the first level of growth as a disciple, and that is head level growth. In other words, I need to know about Jesus enough to make a decision about whether or not I trust him. And it always comes down to that this morning. The question is not what do I know about Jesus necessarily. It's not what do I believe about him, though those things are important and they're vital in this process. Ultimately, the question is, based on what I know about Jesus, have I come to a point in my life that I'm willing to trust him? And so that head-level growth is all about intentionally pursuing him through his word, knowledge of his word, submission to his word, so that I can put myself in a place or a position to then come to the second level of growth, which we're going to talk about today, and that's heart level growth. Because at the end of the day, guys, what I believe about something always has a change effect in my life. It always leads me in this journey. And so today we're going to focus on this idea of heart level growth. Not only do I need to be to follow Jesus, not only do I need to really know Jesus, but if I'm following him, it creates space where he can transform me. Not just to be informed about him or by him, but to make sure that through that informing, I'm transformed. And so this morning, we're going to look at this idea of heart-level growth, transformation, change together. There was a middle-aged woman who had a heart attack, and she was taken to the hospital. While she was on the operating table, she had a near-death experience. Seeing God, she asked, "Is my time up?" God said, no, you have another 43 years, 2 months, and 8 days to live. That's pretty rough, isn't it? Because then you got the calendar and you're making red X's and it's just weird, right? So upon recovery, the woman decided to stay in the hospital and to have a facelift, liposuction, and a tummy tuck. She even had someone come in and change her hair color. Since she had so much more time to live, she figured she might as well make the most of it. After her last operation, she was released from the hospital. While crossing the street on her way home, she was hit and killed by an ambulance. Arriving in front of God, she demanded, I thought you said I had another 40 years. God replied, I didn't recognize you. So Ralph Waldo Emerson said this about change. He said, we change whether we like it or not. And thinking about the story or the joke that we talked about this morning, one of the realizations for us is that change is going to happen for us. It's going to happen constantly. In fact, you've heard the saying maybe that the only constant in life besides God is what? Change. We can't avoid change, and so it's not a question of whether we'll deal with it, but how we'll deal with it. It's not a question of will I change, but how will I change? And will change happen to me, or I will allow change to be a vehicle that God uses to make me who he wants me to be? And so this morning, we're talking about the idea that as we're changing, because we're all changing, is that change drawing me closer to Christ on a regular basis? Is it making me more like Jesus on a regular basis? So last week, we talked about head level, really coming to know and understand Jesus. And we said, really, there are two ways that we have to kind of be intentional about doing that. Number one, we have to know God's commands. In other words, I have to put myself in position to really know what the scriptures say about Jesus and what they say about me following him. And then secondly, not only to know them, but this is the more important one in some ways, I have to be willing to do what? Submit to those commands. When we talked about this last week, that's the hard word for me. And maybe it's hard for you. I don't mind knowing about God. I don't mind knowing about his commands. It gets really rough when all of a sudden I have to do what? Submit to them. Because when I submit, I'm making a statement. And the statement is, there's something greater than me. And maybe you're like me. Sometimes I struggle with that idea. I struggle with the idea that, man, I should, you mean I got to submit? I've got to do something that I don't want to do because somebody else says I have to do it? Anybody else have problems with those kind of things? Like, and it's not a recent occurrence for me. I've been that way my whole life. I could bring my mom and dad up here and they would tell you that's true. That if you tell me to do something, my first question is, why? You're not going to tell me what to do, right? I'm going to do what I want to do. Here's the problem with what I want to do. It has consistently put me in positions I did not want to be in. And yet here's my delusion. I constantly think that the next time I'll get it right. Regardless of the fact that my track history, right, and my patterns have never led me to that place, I continue to believe that maybe the next time I'll get it right. If you share that delusion, let me just give you some insight this morning. You will not get it right. You and I are incapable of getting it right. That doesn't make us bad people. It doesn't demean our value in any way. It points us to the truth. It points us to why it's important to not only know about Jesus, but be willing to submit to him. Because listen, ultimately the scriptures teach us that everything good comes from who? From the Father. And so the only way to consistently good things in my life is through who? The one who is the originator of all things good. And so the head level is all about coming to this place where I acknowledge that I have value because I am God's creation, but ultimately my greatest value comes as I submit to him. And we talked about the idea of submission, and this is really important last week if you missed this. I will only submit to someone that I trust. I will only willingly submit to someone that I trust. Here's why most people will never submit to God. It's not because they can't wrap their head around it. We're all in the same boat. If you're in here and you think that you've got God rationally figured out, you got something figured out, but it ain't God. None of us have the ability to fully comprehend it. And so we're all operating in faith to some degree. And faith is just another way to talk about the idea of trust. Why it's so important that we really come to a head-level understanding of who God is and who Jesus is because it leads us to a place that we can honestly make a decision about who we trust. And so this morning I want to start, even before we get to the heart level, because guys, we cannot get to the heart until we deal with the head. And some of us, our lives have never really been transformed by God because we're still struggling in here. And we're still going, well, listen, if God's really trustworthy, why'd he let this happen? Can I be honest with you? I have no idea why he let that happen. None. Whatever it is. But I know this. I know that he's good. And so this morning, if you're here and you're struggling in your head with the idea, is God trustworthy? Guys, ultimately what you need is not more information to convince you. What you need is a willingness to say, I might not fully understand it and I never will, but I found that in my own life I'm untrustworthy and so I need to look for someone else to trust. How many of you have ever made decisions that let yourself down? You just proved you're untrustworthy, right? To some degree, you just proved it. All I'm asking is at the head level that you give Jesus a chance. Because I'll be honest with you, I've followed him now since I was 19 years old. I'm 42, that's 23 years. He's never let me down. He's done things I didn't understand. He's done things I disagreed with. We've had one-sided arguments. I've said bad things about him in my head and in my heart. And you know what he's been in spite of all that? Faithful. He's never responded to my anger in anger. He's never responded to my doubt with doubt. The only thing he's ever responded with is generosity and grace and love. And so this morning, even before I appeal to you on a head level of his trustworthiness, I want to point to your and mine, our untrustworthiness. Even if you can't wrap your head around his trustworthiness at this point, you've got to be convinced of your own lack thereof. And again, it doesn't have to do with value or identity or any of those things. It's not demeaning to you in any way. It's just the truth of who we are. And so once we come to a place in our head where we say, listen, based on what I know about Jesus, based on what I understand about him, I'm willing to trust him or at least give it a chance. What happens then? Once we come to a place in our head where we're willing to trust Jesus, we create space in our life where our hearts can be transformed by him. And so this morning, that's what I want to talk about. Heart level change. I want to go back to Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 19. We read this last week. I want to read it again. It's kind of the basis of this whole idea that we're talking about in what it means to be a disciple who follows Jesus. It says, one day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, come, follow me. That's the head level. We decide, do I follow him? Do I trust him? And if we make that decision to follow him, what happens next? He says, and I will show you how to fish for people. So if I come to a place that I'm willing to hear the call of God, to hear when he says, come, follow me. According to what Jesus says to Peter and Andrew here, if I will follow him, he'll do what? He'll show me how to live a different life. He'll take the life that I was bogged down in, the life that maybe I felt like I was stuck with, the life that I didn't necessarily want, but it was the one I was given. And he'll show me an entirely different one. In the translation we just read, the New Living, it says, it uses the word show, that I'll show you. In some other translation, the word that's used is the word make. I love that they say it both ways, right? Because it really tells us what Jesus does. Not only does he become an example that we can look at and see what it looks like to follow God, but it also tells us that the work of transformation in our lives is not our work. It's his work. Because see, guys, if all we do is we break Christianity and following Jesus down to a behavioral modification system, we're going to end up angry and frustrated. If you think that changing your life is about more willpower and you be just trying harder, you are going to end up frustrated. It reminds me of the Apostle Paul in Romans where he talks about this idea. He says, listen, the very things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, guess what? I find myself doing them. Anybody relate to that in any way? Have you ever really tried really, really hard to be good? Some of you are like, I'm here today, aren't I? Right? Fair enough. Great point. Is there anything worse than trying to be good? Anything more frustrating, anything that just leads us to more kind of resentment? How many times have I said to God, God, I am trying my hardest to be good. I'm trying not to do these things or to do these things as the case may be, and it's not working. In fact, I think one of the things that I struggled with most in my faith for most of my life is my inability to be good. Now, I know that's hard for you to believe. So, if our effort cannot change us, what does? Here's the thing, this is how it ties back into that head level again. Who I follow will determine my path. Who I follow will always determine my path. And if you're walking a path today and you find yourself in places today that you do not want to be, the question ultimately is not why am I here, but who am I following? The reason that only Jesus can transform us is because he's the only one who can lead us towards the Father. You cannot get there outside of that. And so how do we then open our heart and create spaces for Jesus to transform us? And ultimately, guys, it's not about transforming just our thoughts. It's about transformation of our hearts and our affections. He doesn't want to just change the way that we think about things. He wants to transform our heart and our affections. He wants to change the things that I love. And the more I love him, the less I love me in a dysfunctional way. He leads me to places of grace and humility. And we struggle, at least I struggle with that sometimes. Because we live in kind of this culture where to talk about loving ourselves less, we look at that as a negative. Well, shouldn't we love ourselves? Yes, of course we should. Shouldn't we feel valued and affirmed? Yes, we should. But ultimately, guys, if I love myself more than anything, that's disastrous. Because it makes me the highest value in my own life. And there's an old biblical word for that. It's idolatry. that for many years in my life, I set myself up as my own idol. And the only way out of that is for Jesus to transform my heart as I follow him. And so how does Jesus transform us? Let me give you a couple this morning. Number one, we're transformed through obedience to the Word of God. So this comes back to last week a little bit, this idea of submission. That not only do I read the Scriptures, not only do I know the Scriptures, not only am I comfortable or familiar with the Scriptures, but ultimately, I choose to walk in obedience to them. The best definition of obedience I've ever heard is this. Obedience is a long walk in the same direction. Now, let's be honest. There is absolutely nothing exciting about that. You mean I just got to keep walking on the same path with the same thing surrounding me all the time? No, I want an exciting life. Obedience is not exciting most days. Most days, none of us get out of bed going, man, I cannot wait to walk in obedience today. I could barely sleep last night. I'm so ready to be obedient. Like, we don't do that, do we? Why? Because obedience chisels away at the problem. The problem ultimately is that I want to do what? What I want to do. It's ingrained in us. If you ever doubted that, watch a toddler. Try to rationalize and have a conversation with that. I often think God looks at us spiritually like we look at toddlers. Right, doesn't he? Like, I heard you the first 10 times you said you want it your way and that it's yours. I get it. Right? Like, I honestly sometimes picture my spiritual self as just sitting in a corner going, mine, mine. Right? And Jesus calmly standing and going, no, it's not. Nope, it's not good. And so how does he conform me more to himself? How does he chisel away at the edges of my life that are so self-centered? Number one, it's through demanding obedience to his word. And listen, here's the beautiful thing about this, right? Is that he gives us his word. We talked about this last week, not just so that it's informative, so that it helps us come to a head-level trust, but ultimately the word is also the primary means that God uses us to transform us. And so let me ask you this question. How are you creating space on a regular basis in the Word of God so that God can use it to transform your life? How are you intentionally creating that space on a regular basis? Because if we're not, guys, it's very, very difficult for us to be transformed that way. We read a passage from Proverbs last week, and I want to read it again this morning, about this idea. So Solomon, one of the wisest men who ever lived, he gives us some instruction here. He says, commit yourself to instruction. Listen carefully to words of, in other words, he's saying be intentional. Put yourself in environments and situations where you're learning from the Word of God and from people who are more wise than you. And let me say this morning. This is true of my own heart in many ways. If right now you're struggling to come up with people who are wiser than you in your own head, you need those people. If you're going, well, listen, I just don't know anybody who, find them. We need to be people who are proactively and intentionally putting ourselves in a place where the Scriptures can transform and change us. Paul talks about the same idea in Romans 12, verse 2. He says this, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. In other words, if you really read his argument here, he's saying that's the easy thing to do. The easy thing to do is just fall in line with the culture. The easy thing is just to kind of get in this groupthink idea where we just do what everybody else does because it's the easy flow. He says, don't do that. Instead, or but, let God do what? How does he transform us then? Into a new person by changing the way that you... Back to the head level. If I don't dedicate and commit myself to instruction, and listen, instruction, Sunday morning's great. That's a great place for instruction, but that cannot be the primary place. What you get here on a Sunday is awesome, I hope. I don't want to speak for myself. I'm talking about other Sundays. But this is just a portion of how you should be intentionally placing yourself under instruction. That's why a small group situation is such an important thing that other people are able to speak into your life. And listen, it will never be convenient, it will never be easy, but Paul tells us to really commit ourselves to instruction so that we can be transformed is the harder way, but it's the necessary way. And don't we understand that everything necessary is always a little more difficult? Anything of value and meaning, isn't it always the more difficult way? And so one of the things I love about the scriptures is they don't promise us an easy and yet meaningless way. They say, listen, you got to walk the hard way. And that's exactly why they matter. Because they tell us the truth, they don't tell us what we want to hear. He says, listen, be transformed into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is what? Good and pleasing and perfect. Have you ever wanted to know how to know God's will? Paul tells us right there, doesn't he? He says if you will consistently allow God to create, if you'll create space in your life for God to transform you on a regular basis, then you can know God's will. In other words, if I don't create that space intentionally, what can I never really know? His will. For so long in my life, I was frustrated because I didn't feel like I had any understanding of what God's will for my life was. And you know what? It's because I wasn't creating space for him to speak and transform my heart on a regular basis. I was just doing my duty. I was filling off my spiritual checklist. Have you ever done that? Hey, read 10 minutes today. Came to church twice this month. That was a good month for me. And then all of a sudden, I started reading and I started to see that, listen, I have to be proactive and intentional about creating space for God. And when I did that, guess what? God showed himself in ways that I had never imagined. And so this morning, on a heart level, are you willing to create space by walking in obedience to God's word? And listen, here's the beauty of this. Even through the scriptures, we see this idea that as we kind of start to follow Jesus, you know, we were talking about Andrew and Peter, and to me, it's a huge deal that these guys would just leave their lives and follow this guy who just said, come follow me. Right? That's a really weird situation, isn't it? We talked about this a little bit last week, but put it in your own terms. If you're sitting at work tomorrow and some guy walks by that you know a little bit, you've heard, he's kind of a religious person, spiritual person, and he walks by your desk and he says, hey, listen, I'm thinking about just kind of going off and wandering around the country for 3.5 years. Would you like to follow me? Are you going? No, you're calling security, man. You're not following that dude. But that's what happens. That's exactly what happens here. And I've always thought, man, that's such a big deal that they followed him. You know what's an even bigger deal to me? And this is where it goes from head to heart level. Don't you think every day, and let's be honest, when they followed Jesus, there were some tough days. It wasn't like rainbows and roses, right? Every day following Jesus. Don't you think there were days that they woke up and the thing they wanted to do most was to do what? Go back to the nets. To me, the most incredible thing about that is not that they, even though it's incredible, that they followed him the first time, but the most incredible thing to me is they kept doing it. It's so easy for us, once we start this journey, to look back and to see, even though that life might not be the most exciting life that I left, even though it might have its share of issues and problems, it's what I know. And this is why it's so important, guys, that on a daily basis as we follow Jesus, that we're creating space in our hearts and minds for him to continue to transform us. Because following Jesus is never just a one-time decision, it's constant. And every moment that I decide to continue to follow him, guess what he does? He continues to transform me. Some of you, you walked in this place this morning, and you've made a decision to follow Jesus, but let's be honest, the way life is going right now, you're not sure how much longer you want to follow that path. Can I speak to you for just a second this morning? It was never promised to be an easy path. But ultimately, I believe this with all of my heart, that if we continue to create space and we continue to walk in obedience, even and especially on the most difficult days, that we are creating space that allows God to continue to transform us and make us who he wants us to be. And so for you this morning, if you're walking in, you are really at a crossroads as to what the rest of your path looks like, let me say this. I don't have anything exciting to offer you. I'm not going to offer you anything that is just going to get you emotionally moving this morning, but I will promise you this, that if you'll continue that long walk in the same direction, it'll lead you to the right place. It'll lead you to the right place. Paul tells us in Galatians 3, he says, "How foolish can you be? After starting your new lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort?" I need to hear that a lot. Because if you find out anything about me, you find out I'm a type A personality. Like, I grew up in a household where my dad taught me and my brother, if you try hard enough, you can do anything. And that's not necessarily a bad thought, but it can be disastrous. Especially when it comes to your faith. If you think that ultimately this is about you, and for a lot of my life I have, it can lead you to places of real frustration and disappointment and disillusionment. And I'm thankful that Paul reminds us in Galatians 3. Listen, it was the grace of God that started this journey, and ultimately, what will keep us? It's his grace and mercy. I create space for it, but guess what? He's the one who does the work. And so this morning, what's our call? What's our role in this? Keep creating space for his mercy. Keep creating space for his grace to work in your life. So number one, we're transformed through obedience to his word. Number two, we're transformed through the work of the Holy Spirit. That God doesn't just leave us to our own devices, our own effort, but he says, listen, I'm going to give you the Spirit, and in your life, he's going to be an agent of transformation. Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 17. "When I think of all this," Paul writing says, "I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through" what? So where does our strength come from in our faith? It's from God himself. That as I open my heart, the Holy Spirit creates in me a strength that is beyond my own. How many of you guys watched football yesterday? Man, that's disappointing. So I'm watching yesterday. You know one of my favorite parts of football, one of my favorite things to watch in a football game is? So when a runner gets stopped and stood up, right, and he's got like two or three defenders and they're trying to push him back, and then who comes from behind? Like a couple of these big offensive linemen, right? They run in there and they just like hit their own guy and everybody else, right? And they try to drive the pile forward. They're trying to move him beyond what he could do on his own. That's my favorite vision of what God, the Holy Spirit does for us. Right? Yeah, it's a little violent, but I like it. Right? So we're standing here, and like the enemy is like, he's got us kind of held up, and guess what? All of a sudden, from behind, here comes the Holy Spirit, and boom, he knocks everybody forward. I love it. Because it reminds me that the effort is not mine. My role is just to create space and intentionality and to follow Jesus with my eyes and my heart and my mind. But ultimately, it's the Holy Spirit who does the work in and through me. And I can trust him to do that. He says, if I will allow that, then Christ will make his home in our hearts as we trust him, that our roots will grow down into God's love and keep you what? Keep you strong. I don't know about you, but I like the idea that that God's working in me to keep me strong. That as I intentionally follow him, that he's working with me to make sure that I finish strong. So number one, we're transformed through obedience. Number two, we're transformed through the work of the Holy Spirit. And lastly, number three, we're transformed through, what are those two words? Intentional relationships with other Christ followers. So you think about Peter and Andrew and all the disciples, they're following Jesus. What was the most transformational thing that happened in those 3.5 years that they followed him? Was it the sermons he preached? Though they were powerful, and though I'm sure they had some transformative effect on them. No, you know what I'm convinced was the most transformative in the lives of those disciples? It was the time they spent with him on a daily basis. They were just around him. And they got to see him, and they got to hear him, and they got to experience him as the Son of God. Guys, if we're going to be transformed in the way that God calls us to, we'll never do it by ourselves. There's no picture in the New Testament of this idea of just me and Jesus. It's always me, Jesus, and who else? The rest of those who are following him. And so this morning, let me ask you, how are you creating intentional relationships with other followers of Christ so that your heart continues to be transformed? Hebrews 10:25, the writer says this, "And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near," even though it wasn't yesterday. So often I've heard this passage from Hebrews preached or taught, meaning a Sunday morning. Right? They say, well, listen, we should make sure that we don't, and certainly there's a context there, but ultimately it's interesting, right? Because most churches in the period of this writing were not large churches. In fact, the majority of them were house churches. And so the writer of Hebrews talking, he would not necessarily be talking about a large gathering like this. He would be talking about small, more frequent gatherings of believers together in homes. That's interesting to me. That especially in the American church, one of our primary focuses has become what? This hour. Nothing wrong with that. I love when we come together and celebrate Jesus. But it's not our primary growth mechanism, according to the scriptures. Our primary growth mechanism is when I get together with 8 or 10 or 12 other believers on a regular basis, and we actually talk in depth about not only the scriptures, but our lives, so that I'm transformed by them, and guess what? They're transformed by me. So if you're here this morning, maybe that has not been an intentional pursuit for you, can I encourage you maybe today, stop by, sign up with a small group or a grow group. Not just because you'll be benefited, but guess what? You'll benefit other people. And that's one of the ways that God uses it to transform us so that it's no longer all about me, but it's about others too. And so we're transformed as we walk in obedience to the scriptures. We're transformed through the work of the Holy Spirit as we create space for him to work in our lives. And lastly, we're transformed through intentional relationships with other believers. Let me remind you as I kind of close this morning, the four spheres that you guys were in the 9 o'clock. I didn't mention this last week. I did second service, so. But they're not my favorite. So don't. I like you both equally. Right? Number one, just four things I want you to be thinking about in your own life. How are you acknowledging and submitting to God's commands in your relationship with God? So back to that head level, how are you not only knowing God's commands, but how are you submitting to them? Are there areas of your life that you're having difficulty submitting to? And how do you need to address that? Number two, how are you acknowledging and submitting to God with others at SCF? In other words, how are you doing with people in this room? Are there people that when you see them, you walk the other way? Or you duck in a hallway? Or you just try not to see them? Are there people who've hurt you that you've not sought resolution? Are there people that you've hurt? And maybe God is saying, listen, I need you to go to them. I need you to make things right. Number three, how are you acknowledging and submitting to God in your home life? How are you leading? How are you playing your role in your family in a way that honors God? And then lastly, how are you acknowledging and submitting to God in your relationship with those who don't follow Christ? This is the one that sometimes I think is most challenging. If you're on social media at all, you realize that we don't deal with each other well, right? And I won't say all of us. Some of us are very good at it. Some of us are smart, and we just avoid that altogether. But if I've been really, I think, saddened over the last year at anything, especially in the current political climate and kind of cultural climate, is that people don't seem to be able to just love other people well anymore. We kind of constrain people and say, listen, if you don't agree with me on things, we can't be friends. Guys, can I be honest? That's lazy on every level. Because one of the ways I know I'm submitting to God is I'm loving people in a way that's uncomfortable for me. So how are you doing in the four spheres? Are you trusting God on the head level? Have you come to a place where you really believe that Jesus is worth following? And then as we talked about today, how are you creating space for God to transform you as you follow him? In the 11th century, King Henry III of Bavaria grew tired of court life and the pressures of being a monarch. So he made application to Prior Richard at a local monastery, asking to be accepted as a contemplative and spend the rest of his life in the monastery. Your Majesty, said Prior Richard, do you understand that the pledge here is one of obedience? That will be hard because you've been a king. I understand, said Henry. The rest of my life I will be obedient to you as Christ leads you. Then I will tell you what to do, said Prior Richard. Go back to your throne and serve faithfully in the place where God has put you. When King Henry died, a statement was written, the king learned to rule by being obedient. So many times I think, at least for me, I think if the circumstances and the situations of my life were different, then I could be obedient. I think if things were different and life was easier, then I could really follow God well. And then I talk to him, and guess what he says? Serve me well where you are. So often we want God to transform our circumstances, and he just wants our circumstances to transform us. And so this morning, are you trusting Jesus, and are you creating space for him to transform you as you follow him? As the band comes this morning, so what is our response? Because ultimately, as we talked about last week, the word is not for us to just hear, but it's for us to what? Respond to. And so how do we respond this morning? These guys are going to lead us in a couple more songs of worship this morning. And as we do, a couple of opportunities for you to respond. Number one, maybe you're here this morning and you just got a need in your life. Maybe you're here this morning and this is the first morning that you're going to decide at the head level, I want to follow Jesus. I want to trust him. As we sing these next few songs together, there are going to be prayer team members that put at the front of this stage. I would encourage you to respond by coming, allowing them to pray with you over your needs or over your decision to follow Jesus. Maybe your response this morning is just to worship. In whatever way you desire, whatever way you see fit this morning, whether it's standing or sitting or raising your hands or just kind of contemplating, whatever, to respond by worshiping and being obedient in worship to God. One other way that I can think of this morning that's really good. We talked about obedience being this long walk. Maybe this morning you need to take a long walk and come down to one of these communion stations and really follow the Lord in obedience through communion this morning. Whatever it is, and I encourage you, let's not be just those who hear the word. Let's be those who allow the word to transform us through our response. Amen? Will you stand with me and join me in prayer this morning? Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to gather and to celebrate your name. And I pray right now that through your Holy Spirit, God, you would not only help us to be able to trust, but even now, God, if there are areas of our life that need to be conformed to you, would you, through your Holy Spirit right now, as we create space through response and time, would you conform and shape us to become more like you? Father, I pray for those who've been affected by disasters the last month or so in Texas and Florida and Puerto Rico. God, I just pray that you would keep them safe, that you would comfort those who have lost. And God, that you would just bring quick recovery and resolution to all of those things. And we pray for Scott this morning. Lord God, as he was out yesterday and fell and broke a rib, God, I just pray that you bring comfort to his body, that you bring quick healing for him as well, and bring him back quickly, Lord God, that we can fellowship and serve alongside him. And God, I just pray through the rest of this day, help us to honor and glorify you in all things. It's in the beautiful and powerful name of Jesus we pray. Everybody said, amen. God bless you as you respond and continue to worship this morning.